Good morning, all.
Good morning.
We would like to call the meeting of the Board of Adjustments on May 10th, 2017, to order. It's 9 o'clock. We first would like to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to make sure that everyone's got their cell phones turned to mute or turned off, please. And if I can get somebody to read the Sunshine Law.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm Steve Shaunis, board member, and I make a motion that the Board of Adjustments comply with the Sunshine Law in the following manner during the 2017 in compliance with the open meeting provision of Colorado Sunshine Act of 1972 as enacted by Senate Bill 91-23. The Board of Adjustments will post its meeting agendas in the library lobby of Centennial Hall, 200 South Cascade, Colorado Springs, Colorado. The meeting will be held in the hearing room on the second floor of the Pikes Peak Regional Development Center at 28880 International Circle, Colorado Springs, or another designated location as may be required on the second Wednesday of the month, beginning at 9 a.m. or on an as-needed basis. The Planning and Community Development Department, as recording secretary to the Board of Adjustments, has been appointed custodian of the minutes for their meetings.
I second that motion.
Okay, take a vote on that.
Who's the voting member?
Yeah, well, the voting members goes towards the end, though. Oh. How do we do that as far as? Do associates vote on this portion of it, Sunshine Law?
No, you would need to designate your voting members.
Okay. Now, so our voting members today is Steve, Jay, Jerry, Bill, and Wayne, myself. Would you like to go?
I affirm.
I'm Steve. I vote yes.
Wayne votes yes.
Jay votes yes.
Jerry, yes.
Okay, that passes. So, Chad, you're an associate right now. We're just going by our sequence here. You'll get rolled up into the next meeting, and you most likely become a voting member at that, or associate voting member at that point.
Okay.
Okay. So we get to do our annual election of officers since it's been a year since we met last. And I think it's open to discussion as far as if we want to have a second vice chairman. We need to have a chairman, a vice chairman, and it's being suggested that we should talk about a second vice chairman. So we'll leave that open to discussion.
I think that's a good idea. Since, you know, it seems to be a somewhat of a challenge sometimes getting a full group here. So, do we need to make a motion to that effect?
I think we need to talk about it, see if there's anyone that's got opposed to it.
So, Mr. Chair, this is Steve. So, are we making a motion to adopt for the coming year a second vice chair?
That is correct.
Okay. I'm Steve. I make a motion that we accept the position of a second vice chair to be named following this motion.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we will have a second vice chair this year. I do want to go back and let you know that Mr. Curie was unable to show up to today's meeting, so I got appointed to take over his role today. As I walked in here.
That's what happens when you're the first one.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start off with the chairman. I believe there was an email that was out there that Steve volunteered to be chairman for the rest of 2017 through 2018. I believe he said that he was going to miss a couple months if we happen to have some meetings. Do we have any discussion about that?
Mr. Chairman, this is Steve. I think we're talking about Mr. Curry, as opposed to me.
Did I say Steve? I'm sorry, yeah, Mr. Curry. You're right. Kevin Curry. Apologize.
I haven't seen him forever, so. So is that a nomination?
Do we have any discussion on that? Anyone have any concerns? Is it?
My only comment on Mr. Curry is I have spent some time now with him on the Planning Commission, and he's always there. I know in his letter he said he would be out. He has obligations over the next couple of months, but otherwise he would be available for our meetings here. So I have no particular concerns about his willingness and ability to serve.
Do we have anyone else on the board that would like to be the chair?
I have a question before we go too far, much further. Is there a, don't each of us have some kind of a time frame that we're serving, and you're done after a certain amount of time? You know, I don't know where I stand in that system.
Tracy's going to tell us.
She knows everything.
Maybe it'd be good to let everybody know where we're at, if you have that information.
Associate members are appointed each year, so you have a yearly term. With our regular members, Mr. Carlson, your first term is up in December of 2019. Mr. Curry's first term also expires December 2019. Mr. Innermill, your second term expires in May of 2018. Mr. Shonas, your first term expires in December of this year. And the others are associate members year to year.
Thank you very much. Okay, so do I have a nomination for Mr. Kevin Curry for chairman?
Mr. Chair, I move we accept Mr. Curry's acceptance of chair by virtue of his emailed note.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, so we got chairman. Okay, next would be your vice chair. Anyone interested in being the vice chair?
I'd be a vice chair.
Okay. We got anybody else? Okay. Do we have a motion for Mr. J. Carlson to be vice chair?
Mr. Chair, I move we accept Mr. Carlson's nomination for vice chair.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And now we need a second vice chair. Anyone want to volunteer?
I'll volunteer.
Okay. Anybody else?
I believe he's a
special member. Oh, yeah.
This is Steve. I'll self-nominate as second vice chair. I do have the plans on serving a second term as well. If so, accepted at the pleasure of the County Board of Commissioners.
Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move we accept the nomination of Mr. Jonas as second vice chair.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Tracy, thank you for catching me on that, associate. Okay, so we've got our new board for next year, which will be Kevin Curry, chairman, Jay Carlson as vice chairman, and Steve as second vice chairman. Mr. Gebhardt, you got some report items for us?
There's a humming here. That's Mark Gebhardt, Planning and Community Development. First, you'll notice Planning and Community Development. As you act on your minutes, you'll see the acronym DSD. Sometime between your meetings, the department name changed a little bit. The functions are all the same. I want to thank you for being here, but essentially 1 year after your prior meeting. Don't know that we'll wait that long for the next meeting. We have no applications in process. We have had discussions with several folks that may submit applications. That would mean we're probably 2 months out from any meeting. Would ask your indulgence today. The applicant for the item on today's agenda has been delayed, and it's anticipated to be here in 15 minutes. So just prefacing that, you have to adopt the minutes before you, as your next item. When you look at the minutes, you also see names of people that are attending. Some of those names aren't here. You may remember Sylvia presented your last item. She's gone to other endeavors. Brandy Williams is now at City of Fountain. We now have a lot of changes in the department. Mr. Dossie's here and could explain some of those details if you want them. But we also have two new planners that have started in the last month. And those individuals, Len Kendall and Gabe Savini, may be presenting items to you in the future as Nina experiences and goes on to bigger and larger and more detailed projects. But today, Nina is your planner. That's really all the updates, except thank you. And I know it's hard to come to a meeting once a year and refresh yourselves as to that, but we can't control that other than the fact the actions we've discussed before that have saved most people from these types of meetings. Any questions for me?
Nope. I would like to hear from Mr. Dossie on some changes since we got a little bit of time to kill.
Absolutely. Good morning, Board of Adjustment. Craig Dossie, I'm the director of what is now Planning and Community Development. I guess I don't need to go over why we changed the name, but I felt like it was appropriate. A lot of people would call our front office, our front desk, and ask for developmental services. I don't know how familiar you are with our staff, but I don't think any of them are qualified to give that kind of advice. I think it's more indicative of what we do, you know, really trying to be the planning department. I think most people associate us with that when it comes to land use. One of the changes that, outside of changing the department name I've been a part of over the last 15 months or so when I took over as director, and Mr. Hannigan is very familiar with this, is we now have an electronic submittal system at the county. What that means is all development applications, including Board of Adjustment applications potentially, can be submitted to us electronically from the comfort of your own home, from a beach in Hawaii or wherever you're at. I don't have to tell you, probably, that is a significant change to how we do business. What you all see are what I'd consider fairly small applications. They are public hearing based, but when you compare them to what you might see with a preliminary plan or a sketch plan or an approval location for a utility or a 1041 application for other utility type projects, what you see is really pretty small. So being able to provide an electronic format for submittal saves the applicant and their consultant, depending on how they are paying for it, significant costs. Because, for instance, with a preliminary plan, we might require 20 to 30 copies of, you know, individual documents. Some of those documents, especially in the case of a drainage report or traffic report, are very voluminous. These are large reports. And to require 10 copies of a drainage report, because we're sending it out to other agencies, is very expensive. I mean, a lot of those are color reproductions. The other one that's really kind of a big ticket item is 24 by 36 plan sets that we send out to other agencies for review. Those are very expensive to reproduce. So by doing everything electronically, not only are we saving the applicant on producing the plans, as they're just uploading a single version in digital format, but on our end, the individual who previously would take in hard copy submittals, tear them apart, put a cover sheet with them to send out to each agency, then they would kind of build those packets based upon the matrix that we provide. That individual retired, and I did not replace that position. I was able to kind of convert that full-time employee status, that position, into another planner to provide better customer service, both at the front counter and in reviewing projects. Whereas I probably would have had to have asked for another employee from the county administrator and ask for more money. With EDARP, which is the name of the electronic program, coming into existence, I basically could just convert that those man hours into another position because the system takes up a lot of the legwork, a lot of the man hours that were previously associated with processing hard copy applications. The other savings to us is mailing cost. Anybody who was around when we did the wind farm out by Callahan could testify that mailing out something like that is not hundreds of dollars. In some cases, it's thousands of dollars. And that's typically, on something that size, would be a cost to the applicant because we'd put that cost back on them. But for most applications, the county was bearing the cost of mailing. So none of that has to occur now because the way the system works is we send them an email where it says there's a project and you've been identified as an agency for review. They go into the web-based review program, which is hosted in the cloud, and they review it electronically and upload their comments. So at no point are we mailing anything. Obviously, with that is a savings of time. We don't have to wait 3 days for something to get to CDOT or to get to the state engineer to review for water. It's instant. Our review timelines, under state statute, we have to provide state engineer's office and Colorado Geologic Survey a minimum of 21 days. Well, that's 21 days from the date of mailing, right? And then they got to get us comments back within 21 days. Well, now it's exactly 21 days. We send a referral out at 8:59 and 21 seconds because the system actually tracks when we send it out. They have 21 days from that very moment to provide us with comments. That's no minor thing. If we re-review something four or five times, which is the case sometimes on bigger projects, those days start to add up. And now it's not days or weeks. Sometimes it's months that you're saving in the grand scheme of the entire review process. So it is a game changer. It's changing how we do everything. Our staff now is fully outfitted in their individual offices to review plans electronically. We're using a program called Bluebeam. Each planner and engineer has a screen that's 40 inches wide, basically their TVs, and we are marking up things electronically. We don't review anything on paper anymore. That saves us a lot of costs and having a reproduction. The other nice thing is we're able, with the Planning Commission in particular, we're able to upload color exhibits for the Planning Commission to review. They can zoom in, zoom out of those maps. Before, much like you all see, they might see a 24 by 36 inch plan that has a lot of detail, but they're getting it at 8.5 by 11. You know, a lot of times that ends up looking like a black rectangle, basically, because you can't distinguish any features on those plans. So now with the passageways program that Tracy helps facilitate with the Planning Commission, we can upload color exhibits, we can upload large maps, they can zoom in, zoom out, and see that detail, what that does is it provides the Planning Commission much more information in making their recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners on the applications that they see. Those are both of those items, well, really all three. The EDARP program for submittals electronically, using Bluebeam to mark up the plans. We can mark up as a team, so the plans show both our engineers' comments and our planners' comments. We can host a session with the applicant. Let's say that the consultant's in Denver or Boston or wherever. They can come into the session. We can do video conferencing. We can all be looking at the same plans. We leapt forward about 20 years in how we were doing things to how we are now. It's significant. I'm not going to lie to you. It's probably one of the biggest changes that we'll see or ever could see within our department.
What kind of time savings has that produced and time to get plans approved, et cetera, versus what it was?
Well, we just started, so we're in the process of tracking. The issue of time is an interesting issue because when we mailed out hard copy applications to outside agencies, I'm not going to name any agencies, but we'll just say some of the agencies would either pretend like they didn't get it or they would wait to the last minute to provide comments and call us and say, well, I just now got it, the mail delayed, it was on somebody else's desk, blah, 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 blah. Because of the system that we have, some of the agencies have created kind of a phantom email that multiple people can check to review. Others have assigned an individual person. We kind of discourage them from doing that because if they have turnover, there's no one there to check it. But the great thing about our program is if we send a referral out, we know, one, when it was sent, when they got it, because it's instant. And we can also track whether or not they've opened the referral and when they opened it. So the calls on day 21 saying, I just now got it, and I need to review it, we can say, well, actually, you got it 21 days ago, and oh, yeah, by the way, you also haven't opened it yet. I don't know that that's going to be well-received by everybody, but I will tell you that the development community is very excited about that because it helps get the process or helps get the project through the process because we can unilaterally call an agency and say, hey, I notice you haven't responded, or hey, I notice you haven't opened it yet. This is going to be due in 2 days. I just want to let you know that we're expecting comments and we need comments before we can agendize it. So that's kind of a neat little feature of the program that I particularly like. And the nice thing is a lot of times we take some abuse that it takes so long to get through our process. Our process is very predictable. The timelines are very predictable. We can print a report that identifies how long it was in our shop for review and also shows how long it took for them to resubmit. So when there's complaints about it taking 2 years, we can go in and say, well, we've reviewed it twice for a total of maybe 35 days. You've had it the remainder of that time.
Sure.
So that's pretty significant stuff. I mean, it helps kind of defend us. I think we're very predictable. Our staff does a great job. Bringing in two additional planners certainly helped. We were very loaded down. I did a report to the Board of County Commissioners earlier this, I guess, towards January, February. In 2016, we basically had the same number of type C and D applications, which are the ones that require planners and engineers, as we had in 2007 before the recession, going into the recession. So we're back to where we were basically in terms of the development activity pre-recession, but we have two-thirds of the staff that we used to have. So we're really doing more with less in terms of staffing, but improvements like EDARP and improvements like passageways cuts down on the amount of man hours needed to process and get things to you all, get them to the Planning Commission, get them to the Board of County Commissioners. So there's been a lot of man hours saved, and I think ultimately the industry's been very complimentary of the new program. We're back to where we were before in terms of the format. You all used to see, this board used to see a project manager, a planner, an engineer. Now we've kind of merged the project manager and the planner into one role. So you don't see a team of three, you see a team of two. That's kind of the system that I grew up in as a planner, and I think it works better that way. But those are some of the changes. We're in the process of doing some code amendments. One that the board is particularly concerned about, which is tiny homes. It's a very complicated issue, believe it or not, because they're not built to a standard that gets a building permit, but they're also not RVs necessarily. They're not being certified like an RV would. So we're messing with that. Can't remember any other code amendments.
Is that because it's a temporary structure? Or?
Well, not all tiny homes are created equally. Right. You and I can go out in my backyard and build a tiny home. That doesn't make it safe to live in, necessarily. It's not, again, it's not getting a building permit from regional building because it's not a structure. It's not affixed to the ground. But it's also not being certified as a RV to the same standard that an RV or a mobile home is. But they are, that is a movement, as we all know. If you watch, if your wife suspects you to HGTV like mine does, you know that they run marathons of Tiny Home USA or whatever the heck the show is. So they're coming, and we've had to deal with a few of them. The board wants to see some action on how we're going to regulate them or not regulate them, but we really don't discuss them in the code at all. And, you know, it's no different than anything else. Like when we had the wind farm come in, or we had, you know, these solar farms come in, we didn't have anything in regulations. You know, we have to research it and figure it out, and that's kind of the fun part of the job is learning new stuff and what you need to pay attention to and not pay attention to. But, you know, I think we're in a good position in terms of staffing. We're in a good position in terms of the improvements that we've made, and I think we're providing as good a customer service as we ever have, if not better.
Great.
Anything else for me? Any questions?
Yeah. Who else is using this system? Who else is using this process?
The electronic submittal program?
Yep.
Nobody. No one. We developed it in coordination with regional building. Regional building, of course, has the ability to review, I'll say, single-family residential plans electronically. I think they're wanting to expand that even further. I met with them and said, you know, here's what we want to do. We think that you guys are doing it right and you're heading the right direction. Is this something that you think that, you know, we can at least get some feedback from you on? And Roger Lovell with regional building said, well, why don't we just develop it for you? I said, I think that's a great idea. naturally. We are, I'll tell you that Roger and I both see it as a regional solution. No other jurisdiction in the area has anything, quite honestly, remotely like it. City of Colorado Springs has a system, but it's nothing like this. We will be meeting with city representatives next month to give them a demo of how it works. We've completed phase one of the program. There are additional phases where it automatically generates the comment letters that we send out to the developer that says, here are the issues that need to be resolved. There's another phase that it helps populate the staff reports automatically, not completely, because there's always the planning analysis and engineering analysis, but it can help populate those. There's a lot of additional phases that we've identified that we would really like to bring into that system. It's kind of first thing first, but with the system, we created a public platform where the public can go on now and look at all of the projects that are in active review. We've never had that. I'm going to say that again. We've never had the ability to do that. If somebody wanted to come in and look at one of our projects, they had to request the hard file. We'd put them in a little room, they'd lay out all the files, we'd hope that they'd return everything to the file. We would hope they would. but while the file's with them, it's not with our staff being reviewed, being processed, wherever the case may be. With the program that we have now, you can go online and you'll see every document that we have. It's complete transparency. There's nothing that's being hidden. If it's submitted to us, it's public information. The public can go out and look at everything that's in active review.
Well, and I can see where, just amongst yourselves, if somebody's got a question on what someone else said, they don't have to run the plan over there. They, you know, they can just send an email. That guy can look it up and answer it and be done.
Well, and by putting all of the submittal documents online available for public review, there is no, well, CDOT said, you know, when a neighbor gets up. Well, no, CDOT didn't say that. As we have their comment letter, and it's available to the public, and we can just bring it up at the hearing and say, well, actually what they said was that. you know, there is no, you know, misleading dialogue. If the board has questions about what a agency said or what page 42 of the drainage report said, we can bring all that up at the hearing and go right to it without having to attach a 120-page drainage report. You know, it's all electronic, so we can go right to it. People come in and they want copies of stuff. You know, we have to charge for copies. We don't have to do that anymore. They can print them out there at home or at their office.
That's huge, yeah.
So it saves man hours there, too. You know, all of our files that were hard copy, we had somebody who'd scan them all in when the project's done. I mean, it just, the amount of man hours that it's saving is, you can't quantify the soft costs associated with that. You just can't. So it's, you know, it's changing how we do things. Obviously, I'm very excited about it, but I think it's where we need to be. It's probably where we should have been some time ago. But I think that's the direction that the region's moving. I know I've talked to other counties, talked to other municipalities within our county. They all want to see how it works. You know, they're apprehensive, just like they should be. Mm-hmm. I'd probably be the same way. But I think it's probably changing the landscape for how development is reviewed and processed, not only for El Paso County, but other jurisdictions as well.
Well, it's a great accomplishment, and thanks for getting regional involved, too. That'll be a good thing.
You know, we get along really well with regional. You know, obviously, we have to. We're kind of in the same cage here. But, you know, it's a big step, and those guys are just, they're great over there. They get a lot done. And we have to work hand-in-hand with them, and I value that relationship.
That's great.
Thank you for all your information.
I do got one more question, yes. If you don't mind. If you can entertain me this moment.
Absolutely.
So when I was doing life safety reviews for life safety, I used to have just hundreds of pounds of stuff all over my office, you know, just drawings and drawings and drawings. You know, I love this concept. So I could focus in on sections of a drawing, and, you know, the 40-inch screens are great. You know, would have loved that. But, like, you know, for this package here that we received the other week, we got one of those little 8x10s of a drawing. I'm just like, you know, I got a magnifying glass out trying to interpret this thing. I just finally gave up on it.
Yeah.
Is the boards, for instance, this one, going to be looking at that in the future, just, you know, tying into your system that you're describing, so we could see a drawing and we could, you know, look at it with better ease? Is that in your head at all or not?
You know, I'll tell you, the passageways program that we're using with Planning Commission, we're uploading the electronic version of the staff report, the mm-hmm. attachments that the planners choose to attach to the staff report. We're still kind of in the trial period for that, right? There is a cost, and it's cost per seat. So for me, I have to weigh, does it make sense to pay for a license for each of you when you meet one time a year? You know, the cost benefit really is not there if we're meeting one time a year. Mm-hmm. Because it's not based upon you using it once, it's based upon the assumption that you're using it all year long. For the Planning Commission, it makes perfect sense because we have two meetings a month. And a lot of times those are very voluminous staff report packets. So I'm still kind of debating whether or not to bring it to the Board of Adjustment for use. I'll tell you right now, my inclination is no, because, I mean, the license fees are actually pretty high, I think, in my opinion. I mean, it's justified, again, with Planning Commission, and maybe if the Board of County Commissioners goes to something like that. But it's just not justified with when there's one meeting a year.
I understand. All right. Well, thanks.
Again, thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay, we get to adopt the minutes from last year, May of 2016. I'm sure everyone has read up on them, right?
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair, this is Steve. I make a motion that we dispense with the reading of the minutes and move to approve as we all read.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes have been adopted for May of 2016. Okay, the board now will hear BOA 17001. It's a request from Terra Nova Engineering on behalf of Garrison Hassenflew for approval of a dimensional variance to allow the construction of a fence on top of a retaining wall for a total combined height of 12 feet at the lot line, where a setback of 25 feet is required. The property is zoned RM30 and is located southeast of Constitution and Peterson intersection. Yes?
Nina Reese with Planning and Community Development. I will have Lori Sego begin by going over the review criteria for today.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Lori Sego. I'm with the County Attorney's Office. This is a new process as well. When the new Board of County Commissioners was sworn in this January, one of the changes that they requested to see at their land use hearings was a discussion at the beginning of each hearing as to what the review or the approval criteria are. The purpose of that is not only to put that at the forefront of your mind as you're considering the information that you hear today, but also to help direct the discussion of public comments and applicant presentation to be focused on what are the criteria that you all are considering as you review this application so that they can provide you with sufficient information to consider those issues. And so you'll probably, whenever you meet, be hearing a little bit from me, and I won't read these slides to you, but this is just more of a reminder as to what your authority is and what the criteria are that you are required to consider as you hear these items. And so, as you know, as the Board of Adjustment, you are a final decision-making body. You are not making recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners, but your decision is final. It can only be reviewed by the courts if some party were to request that. And so the job of the Board of Adjustment is to grant variances from the strict application of any of the physical requirements of the code that would result in peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties to or exceptional and undue hardship upon the owner of the property. And so down there you have two alternatives or two circumstances in which you can find that practical difficulties and hardship do exist. One could be the shape of the actual piece of property or the topographic conditions on the property. So that if you find that either one of those circumstances would create an exceptional and undue hardship upon strict application of the physical requirements of the code, and in this case it's a setback requirement, then you can approve this variance request.
Thank you.
Thank you. So the property is zoned RM30. Our zoning maps haven't yet been updated because the property was recently rezoned. So it is zoned RM30. As you can see from the zoning map, there's some residential properties to the south. There's some RM30 to the east, a PUD, and then some commercial properties as well. So as I mentioned, the property was rezoned from CC to the RM30 on January 26th of 2016. And as a result of the rezone, a site development plan was requested. That site development plan is a requirement anytime that a new commercial use is being proposed, and we would consider multifamily one of those uses that would require a site development plan. During the review of the site development plan, we look at all of our dimensional standards as well as our development standards, such as landscaping, lighting, parking, and so on. During the review, we found that they have proposed a retaining wall with a fence on top of it along this southern and then eastern internal property line. So the land development code requires that when you have multifamily adjacent to a commercial or residential property, there's a 6-foot privacy fence to act as screening for that development. We measure the height of the fence from the grade. So if the fence is on top of a berm or a wall, that fence would be measured from the grade below that fence or wall. And we also require that if a fence is over 7 feet in height, it then becomes considered a structure, an accessory structure, where it has to meet the setback requirements. So in this instance, they're requesting the privacy fence along with their retaining wall, which brings their total height to 12 feet. And they're requesting that retaining wall and fence be located along the property line, which doesn't meet the setback requirement of 15 feet. They do have some existing constraints with the site. So one of them is there's already a natural berm on the site. This is the best picture that I could get. I apologize, but you can kind of see the berm right here. So the eastern portion of the lot is at a lower grade than the western portion. Commissioner?
Yeah, the berm is going left to right in our picture, right?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. It's right here.
And that's the south boundaries of the property?
It is. Let me flip back. So that berm is located this way.
Oh. So that's not where the fence is going to go?
No, it's not.
Okay.
So in order for them, and the applicant will expand on this, but in order for them to flatten the lot to allow for their one single structure that they're proposing, the apartment building, as well as having the two access points with all of the parking, so that they flatten the lot, they have to have a berm to accommodate that difference in grade. Does that answer your question? Okay. So there are several alternatives that the applicant could choose to explore that wouldn't result in the need for a board of adjustment. So one of them is to redesign the apartment building so that it is still one building, but it stair steps along with the natural grade. That's probably not a very realistic option, but it still exists. The next option would be, instead of doing one single building, doing multiple buildings that would also allow for the grade to continue upward instead of being flat. And then the last option would be to just have one access point. If they just had the one access point, then there wouldn't be as much of a need for this portion of their lot to be flat, and that would allow for their retaining walls to be stair-stepped with meeting the setback requirements.
Can you show us where that second access is?
Uh-huh. So they've got, do you want it on the larger map? Is that, let me just go back there. Okay, so one of their access points is proposed off of Peterson Road, and then the other access point is proposed off of Canada Drive. So their access flowing through would be east to west.
Okay.
I'm just not seeing that on the drawing.
It's, so here's one access point.
That's Peterson.
That's Peterson.
Peterson.
Yeah.
And then this is their Canada.
Oh, I see it now.
There's a lot of different stuff shown on there, so I'm sorry that it's kind of difficult to see.
Yeah, we need those 40-inch screens up
there. I know.
under the building shown there, is there parking like underneath the building?
There is. Yeah. They're proposing parking on the main level with the actual units up above. There's also parking, just a typical parking lot as well, but that's what you see here. So the darker line is their building with the underground parking. This site is it's a little bit constrained size-wise for them to be able to meet all of their parking requirements based on the land development code with putting a significant building on site. So if the request is approved, staff has recommended two conditions and one notation. So the first condition is just putting them on notice that it's, if the request is approved, it's only for what's shown today. So if there were a change in the future, say they relocated the retaining wall or they wanted an even taller fence or retaining wall, then they would have to come back to the Board of Adjustment for that request. And the second one is just also putting them on notice that there's a building permit required because this is considered a structure. And then the last notation is a notation that we have for all Board of Adjustment requests, that they have to have initiated construction within 12 months of approval.
So the building permit you're talking about would be for the retaining wall and the fence?
That's correct. If it's over 7 feet in height, then it becomes considered a structure where a building permit is also required in addition to meeting the setback requirements. 10 adjacent property owners were notified. We only received one response, and that was a no objection.
Can you tell me, while that picture's up there, what's that commercial building that's adjacent to the property to the south?
To the south, this one right here?
Yeah.
You know, it used to be a soccer indoor soccer. I'm not sure if that's still in operation or not.
Was that, did that used to be the modular home construction building? I think that's what.
That's a pretty good building. It's a pretty good sized building right there.
I know, but they built them in, inside it, moved them out. Yeah. Anyway.
Mark, do you know if it's still in operation?
I'm not sure about
that. Not the modular home
development services. I'm not sure about being in operation, but that was the original manufacturing building for Trend Homes,
right,
that built all the homes in the area. They built them there, wheeled them out, set them on the foundations.
Right. And then there was a paintball company on this lot for a while, wasn't there?
Right. But
yeah. Okay.
So that concludes my staff presentation. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What would the from this that commercial building to the south, once this fence is built, what will be their view of it from their property? Is it just a, look like a 7 foot or a 6 foot fence from them, or?
So this will be on their side of the property here, so they'll see the retaining wall with the fence on top of it, because they're proposing to put this at the property line.
So the retaining wall is on the. So they're raising the land on this side of the, on the south side of the
they're
property.
They're going to fill it, I guess.
Yeah, in order to flatten the grade difference out.
Wow. So from that south building, it'll look like a 12-foot structure.
Mm-hmm. Retaining wall with fence on top.
Okay.
And is that an industrial, or how's that zoned right there for that building? That
I think it's commercial. In? Yep, it is. So it's zoned CC.
Uh-huh. So as I was reading the package and everything like that, we were talking about, you know, the setbacks and everything like that, and then I'm trying to look at the drawings, and I just like, okay, I'll see this during, I'll see it today. How is the setbacks being encroached onto that parking lot? Can you show me that?
So where they're proposing, and you know what, let me just actually get out of this mode and I'll zoom in. That might be a little too close. Okay. So you can see this is their property line. And where you see the boxes there along the property line, that is where the retaining wall and fence is going to be located. So it's within the 15-foot setback requirement in order for them to be. Yes, we measure all of the setbacks from the property line in. Mm-hmm. So in order for this retaining wall to be in compliance to where there's no need for a board of adjustment, they would have to move this fence 15 feet in from where it currently is located, which that would take up most of their drive aisle here.
And would that get them past the gas lines and so forth?
Yeah, it would. Let me zoom out and see if I can just find a dimension on here to kind of compare for you guys.
Well, the stationing shows you distances.
You know what? I might just pull out my big set.
While you're looking that up, if they did comply with the code for the 15-foot setback, the effect on the adjacent property would still be the same as far visually. They'd still have that 12-foot structure there. Right?
That's correct.
Just 8 foot further away. And that landowner where that structure is right now, they haven't,
we haven't
voiced
heard
any opinions
from
at all?
Mm-mm. They were sent notification along with all of the other adjacent property owners. Could I get the overhead, please?
Do we know, Mr. Chair, if I may, do we know how tall that building to the south is? The building itself?
You know, I can look at the pictures in just a minute. I've got pictures of the site. And I believe in those pictures, I do show that building in one of them, if you want that for a comparison.
It's probably 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a pole barn to me.
It's a big building.
But Wendell is best to see.
So if they were to meet the setback requirements, it looks like they would probably be most likely just beyond the gas line, so maybe about... about right there, so it would take out some of their drive aisle.
And what's the, what do you think the dimension is from that line you just drew to the edge of the parking?
It's probably 10 feet or so, it looks like, maybe. This drawing, I was looking for a scale on there. They've got a scale on the side that's 1 to 50, but that's only for their grade. It doesn't show a scale for this drawing right here.
So it doesn't meet fire lanes?
No, I don't believe that it would. If you don't mind holding on, I've actually got all of my site development plan drawings. If that's something important to scale out what that setback might look like, if you would give me just a minute, I can scale it out for you.
I
don't need it.
Okay.
It seemed to me, that there was a some mention of stepping up to the height. There was some rule about that. Is that one of the options that they can, instead of doing one 12-foot structure, they can do, it goes up 6 feet and then over and up another 6 feet?
That is another option, and Gilbert is the expert in that area on when we don't consider it all one retaining wall, so I'll have him give you a brief explanation.
Okay. One of the options that I...
I'm sorry, sir. Who are you?
Oh, sorry. My name is Gilbert LaForce, engineer for this project.
Great. Thanks.
That I saw has to do with the two access points here. It's kind of limiting the grade of that roadway. If this thing gets removed, the Peterson access, you could almost keep this lower, the roadway, so it almost matches what's the grade on the adjacent property, so it doesn't have that built up of the retaining wall along this side. You would have to make up the grade by putting retaining walls along this landscape area, and if the access wasn't located there.
And is it a one-to-one?
Well, they could fit in, yeah. Put in a tiered wall or one long one, however the grading would work.
So to answer your question, I believe if they got rid of one access, then they could put the retaining wall over there.
And
not have it.
And that'd be a terraced kind of thing or whatever?
Yeah.
But the terracing's not an option on this south border? I understand it eats into their lot size and all that, but...
A terracing option on the south side?
Yeah.
On the retaining wall, it's just, all it is just, it's going to eat up that access.
Right.
And the thing to consider, if you're closing this access, I think they're going to have to go back and reevaluate the traffic for this, because a lot of what they're anticipating going north, most people will take this right out access going to the north or to the west. And so now you're going to be putting it all on this... on Canada, and there's no stoplight at this location, so there's going to be a long wait probably to try to make a left turn to go to the west.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cooper. Are there any other questions for staff? Okay. So now I'd like to ask the owner's representative from Terra Nova to come forward.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Could we get you to sign in?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Lou Ann Jusat with Terra Nova Engineering. I'm the owner's representative, and I was an engineer, or I'm the engineer for this project. And this project had several civil engineering constraints, including the grade. As Nina described, the grade on the adjacent property is much lower than our site, and we're constrained by the two access points. And also, we have another constraint, which is drainage. We're trying to get all the flow from the site into a detention pond and get it out through to Canada Drive. So if we lower the building 5 feet, I haven't analyzed it, but I suspect that we're going to have trouble with the drainage because the drainage was so tight on the site. So what we're requesting is allowing the wall and the fence to exceed the maximum height. And I believe if we had a small wall, the setback wouldn't be a problem. It's because the wall got over 5 foot with the 7 foot fence on top that now we're considered a structure. And so we're requesting that this be allowed. If we have to push it to the north, we're going to lose parking and it's going to impact the structure. And I'm sure a lot of you are business people. This site and most apartment sites are driven by parking. And so you get a certain number of units based on how much parking you have on the site. So it would be a complete redesign to the owner. And so he's asking for some relief on this. It's going to be on the back side of that neighboring building. And like one of you said, if we move it 15 feet, they're still going to look at the same thing. So. We respectfully request a variance on this. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer those.
So is the retaining wall 5 foot tall?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's actually 6 foot.
Yeah, 6 foot. So the fence is 6 foot, retaining wall is 6 foot.
Because it's showing a foot below grade there.
Go ahead, Bill.
You had mentioned that if you had a lower grade, it might affect the water retention.
Correct.
On the east side?
Correct.
Would the building structure have to change, or have you explored that option?
It's the building structure. What do you mean by the structure? Structural
engineering?
You were saying
you might have a constraint because of the water retention.
Correct.
Drainage in that area.
Right.
If you kept the lower elevation because of the constriction of the wall at a lower height, or if it was tiered, how well have you explored that difference in the water retention?
I just looked at it while I was sitting over there. I haven't analyzed it thoroughly. The main issue is that we have the water quality pond that's north of the drive on Canada, and we have a pipe that has to get underneath that driveway. And that was super tight. We didn't have much cover on that pipe. So if we lower everything 5 feet, we're still going to have to get the drainage off the driveway into that pond and then under through that pipe. And I'm afraid it's going to make it very difficult. I don't know the answer because I have to look at it in detail. I just know it's going to be a challenge.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
A question. Can you tell me more about the fence itself? What is it that you're, I can't read the drawing, I'm sorry, but
can you
tell me more about what the fence is proposed to be and how it would appear?
I believe it's just going to be a wooden screen fence per the landscape plan, and we didn't do the landscape plan, and maybe we could pull that out. Do you want to see the detail on the fence?
Well, I was just concerned about what it would look like.
Is it like a...
Not necessarily.
Wood pickets, cedar pickets?
I think it's just a wooden picket fence.
Okay.
Yeah, just a typical screen fence that you would see around town for subdivisions.
Okay, thank you.
It was nothing fancy, like wrought iron or anything like that. It was just going to be a solid fence.
For visibility.
Right.
Yeah.
It's part of the requirement.
Right.
I guess another option would be to waive the requirement for the fence and just allow a handrail on there, but then it doesn't meet the screening requirement. So we're trying to meet the grades back there and also meet the county screening requirement, and that's why we have that issue.
Well, and I don't know that you want too big of a vertical difference one side or the other without a fence, because somebody might fall off of it.
Yeah, right.
There'll be plenty of kids in the apartment complex.
That's not a good idea. Is there any treatment expected or proposed to the wall itself, the concrete wall itself? I mean, is it going to be just a cast finish, or is it going to be troweled or stucco?
I think it's a CMU block wall, so it's just like a landscape block retaining wall.
Okay. So it'd have some texture, perhaps color.
Right. It's not going to be cast-in-place concrete with a rough finish. It's going to look nice.
It's the landscape block that...
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me, on drainage, I'm assuming that all the drainage for this property that we're talking about all stays on that property. There's not an issue of drainage because now it's 5 feet in the air draining down onto this commercial property to the south?
No, if anything, it'll be less because now it's going to be 5 foot higher retained with the curb and gutter, and it's all going to go off.
Because right now it slopes toward this property.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I got to ask this question. Is there anybody in the audience that is opposed to this? I hear none. Okay, it's open for discussion for the board. Any questions? Is it possible to get that... the slide up there with the plan on it?
Yeah. This one?
Yeah. Can you X out of... There you go. That helps us.
Whoa. Sorry. There we go.
Doesn't sound like the board's got too many questions. Well, maybe
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I think I would have a concern if this grade was changed where we would have a single access point at this point. I think for fire safety reasons that, and even for traffic flow for the residents that would be in this complex, having two access points.
I'm in agreement with that.
One thing that's pertinent to me is that if they did have to, my concern is what the property to the south, what the effect on them is going to be, and if this owner did comply with code and they'd be building the same wall just 8 feet or whatnot to the north, it's virtually the same impact on this property to the south.
I agree with that also. Anybody want to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm Steve Shaunis. I move that the application by NW Development Enterprise LLC for a dimensional variance as requested in item BOA 17001 of the agenda be approved using Standard Resolution Number 1, citing description hardship, opposed on conditions of page 2 of the staff report.
I'd second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Looks like that's a vote 5-2. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Unanimous.
Okay, that BOA-17-001 has been approved. Thank you all for your time.